Hey, Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are David Jacoby. Dog. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
The Celtics took a commanding lead over the Raptors. We've got some big games tonight, but we start with a Game 7 last night. It was a wild finish coming down to the wire. Win. There it is, Donovan Mitchell with the ball, loses it. Jamal Murray has it. Jamal Murray, kill the clock, kill the clock, kill the clock. Does not kill the clock. Craig misses the layup. Now we have Mike Conley, veteran, with the ball, with a chance to win Game 7. And it goes in and out. Jalen, the Nuggets move on. What did you see from them last night that you liked?
That's what you want from a Game 7, Jacoby. Go down to the final possession. Two budding stars putting up historic numbers. Going back and forth, scoring at a high clip, shooting the three, making their teammates better, and that final play. Please run that play. There's so many things I have to say. Let's start first with Gary Harris's defense right there on Spider Mitchell. That's why he was in the game. As a guy who has great form, but seems to always miss his open shots. I'm talking about Gary Harris. Okay, so now you get it out in transition. Murray's in the middle of the break. He's a terrific athlete, and that's Mike Conley back. He could have just took off and dunked on him with the exclamation point if he wasn't going to bring it out or drop it to Craig. Don't throw a bounce pass. Get him in the waist so he could go on and lay it up. And then also, when Utah secures the ball, now it's about decision-making. You don't expect the stifle tower in that moment to realize, wait a minute, if I throw it to the left, it might end up with Conley, but if I throw it to the right, it might end up with Donovan Mitchell, because you're just happy that you got an opportunity to get a possession. And then the final shot, Mike Conley, that was in there. It was in there. And so for it to be that close, it was only right for two teams that gave us a terrific and a spectacular series.
It was such a good series, and what this series featured was one of the best head-to-head matchups in a seven-game series in the history of the NBA. And one thing I want to do right now is celebrate Donovan Mitchell. We'll have plenty of time to talk about Jamal Murray and Jokic and Porter Jr., but Donovan Mitchell had a star turn. We remember 2 years ago when he showed up in the league and he showed up in those playoffs and he sort of bursted on the scene as a rookie. Then he sort of last year was a little step down, but this year in the bubble, in these playoffs, he emerged as a superstar for this Jazz team. And while we won't get to see him anymore this season, I look forward to watching him next season.
Absolutely. Taylor. And here's the blueprint. You got to do like Houston did with James Harden. He was a traditional shooting guard. Mike D'Antoni gave him the ball. You have to give Donovan Mitchell the ball. He's not even 6'2". You must give him the ball and let him cook.
And one thing about Mitchell is not only did he show up on the court, he also showed up off the court in the fight against social injustice. The very first game, he wore a bulletproof vest with the names of victims of violence. And after the game, here's what he had to say.
The pain that's on my face right now and the way I feel, I can only imagine what's going through these victims' families. And I know I'm probably gonna go back there and cry again, but I just wanna go out and just say, look, man, like, this is a game. People lost their family members to police brutality and racism. I can only imagine. So I wanna say that, I wanna get that out there, because the way that I'm feeling right now is nothing compared to that. And I appreciate the NBA and everybody in this league for continuing to push that message, because it's not stopping.
Jalen, your thoughts?
I applaud him using his platform for something bigger than himself. And NBA players aren't going to stop systemic racism, Jacoby, or police brutality, but you heighten the awareness and you do what you can when you can. And I applaud them for caring and doing so.
Absolutely. And sort of like you said, field position. Anytime you can move the ball forward in the fight against systemic racism is helpful. And I love what the NBA players have done in the bubble to do so. Moving on to the other game yesterday, the Raptors needed the win last night to even the series against the Celtics, and they did not get it. Jalen, what did you see from last night's game?
This is a classic example of skill versus will. And of course, every NBA player has both. But I like to determine which one makes you a longtime NBA player and becomes an addition versus the other way around. And when you look at the Celtics roster and how it's constructed, there are a bunch of guys that are lottery picks that were highly acclaimed each step of the way. When you look at the Toronto Raptors, including their coach, Brad Stevens, who came in and got a 6-year deal from the jump. The Toronto Raptors, even as defending champions, is the exact opposite with Nick Nurse and where they got Pascal Siakam and Van Vliet wasn't a draft pick. And you look how all of their guys are overachievers. So if Toronto's going to win this series, Jacoby, it has to be all of the things that are about effort. Block shots, steals, loose balls, taking charges, all of those things. And the thing that I'm noticing is the Celtics are beating them at the skill stuff, in particular shooting the three, but then they're beating them at the will stuff with people like Marcus Smart defending multiple positions. And yeah, he was terrific in the fourth quarter, but that guy plays like a champion. And the will that he plays with has now been at the forefront, and his skill caught up in the fourth quarter, and it was great to watch.
I love watching an NBA player catch fire because Marcus Smart is not a Steph Curry, Duncan Robinson level 3-point shooter. But when he hits a couple, you kind of get this look on his face like, I'm going to try again. Run it again. Let me see Marcus Smart shoot these again. Because you notice they get progressively worse shots even though they all go in. It's like, oh, I'm open. All right, cool. I'll hit that one. I'm open again. I'll hit that one. And then he's like, oh, now I'm trying to get and ones. And then watch this last one. I love this little step back and one. It was just so fun to watch him catch fire during this game in these pivotal moments and take that 2-0 lead against the Raptors. And one thing about the Raptors we need to talk about is Pascal Siakam, their all-star, and Van Vliet, sort of someone in the bubble who's proved to be a true scoring threat, have not been great in this series. What are the Celtics doing to these two to make it difficult for them?
They're just switching out on them with multiple players, and they're using their length. That's what I mean. If you look at Toronto's backcourt, they're overachieving backcourt. They don't wow you with their athleticism or how they play above the rim. And so if you look on the other side, that's Tatum and Brown guarding them. Jacoby, they long, they're athletic, they're switching. And for Pascal Siakam, they're doing a really good job of making him play in the half court, making him play through bodies, and not allowing him to gain a rhythm and keeping him working defensively. So if this is going to be a long series, those two guys have to become a bigger factor.
Even though it is 2-0, I do anticipate Toronto making some noise as the series moves forward. We will talk about the two huge games in the NBA in a bit, but now we turn our attention to the NFL. As they are just 8 days away from launching a season, they're also dealing with the COVID pandemic. The latest round of testing seemed pretty positive. Not too many positive tests for the league, and they tested thousands of people. But Kirk Cousins had some really interesting thoughts on COVID-19 and his approach towards the virus. Here is what Kirk Cousins had to say. He said the following, and I quote, "You know, even if I die, I die. I kind of have peace about that. Jalen, I find this ridiculous and irresponsible. What do you think about Kirk Cousins, Steve?"
Well, you can feel like that. The problem is he plays a team sport, and the Vikings are an organization comprised of multiple people that are either going to be coaches or work for the team or the facility. So therefore, his testing and his participation are, should, and will go hand in hand. And it's irresponsible to say a lot of times as an adult, because there are people who probably don't have the awareness or the exposure to information that he does. So now when you say things like that, it makes someone else drop their guard and feel like wearing a mask and or being safe isn't important, and we should be feeling the exact opposite.
It's one thing to be irresponsible with your decisions when the repercussions only affect you. I think it's a completely different thing to be irresponsible with your decisions when you're decisions affect the community. And I think with COVID-19, that has really exposed that. And if Kirk Cousins doesn't believe that masks are going to help him, if he just gets sick, he's going to get sick, no big deal. That's fine if he feels that way, but it's not okay to me because it affects the lives and the families of so many others around him, because this is a virus that spreads person to person. It's not like he's going to go skydiving saying, you know what, if I die, I die. I think it's completely different with a virus that can not only affect you, but can affect exponentially the people around you and the NFL.
And also, And also, I can't front. When you were saying those quotes, I started thinking about Biggie. You was like, somebody got to die. If I go, you got to go. I thought, I was like,
I was thinking more like, Rocky. If he dies, he dies. Some other football news with a political undercurrent is this. President Trump and the Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren had a little conference call to discuss bringing back college football. Now, it is important to point out that this is a political move, because if you look at the geography of the Big Ten and you look at some of the biggest swing states in this election, you'll see some overlap there. Jalen, what do you think about this move from President Trump?
As a Michigander, you know I've seen this one blindfolded, Jacoby. This is all about trying to appease to a base and acknowledging to them if it doesn't get played. It wasn't because of me. I told them that they should have played. He's going to ignore the millions of people who actually been contracted by it and 180,000 that have already died. And while we're quarantined and so many people are unemployed and trying to figure out their next meal and how they're going to pay their next rent or lease. But if they don't play football, then it's not on me. That's all that he's trying to do to his base. Hopefully they're listening and they're not believing that rhetoric.
President Trump does not want to see Ohio State play Michigan. President Trump wants to see Ohio and Michigan vote for President Trump. And it is so crystal clear in this action. It is so crystal clear. Something tells me he didn't watch too many Big Ten football games last year. You know what I mean? Something tells me that he's just not excited about the Ohio State offense. Something tells me that he is excited about Ohio State voting for him. Jalen, we have a Game 7 tonight, and I can't wait to break that down with you and much more. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Tonight, a critical game 2 in the East, where the Bucks look to level the series against the Heat. And then, 9 p.m., the best two words in sports, Game 7 between the Rockets and the Thunder. All that's preceded by NBA Countdown with Jalen and the Fancy Suit, 6 p.m. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we start with that big Game 7 between the Thunder and the Rockets. I love what the Thunder have done this season. Exceeded expectations. Chris Paul has led them to such a great season. It's been such a good story. But Jalen, we discussed this earlier today on Get Up and what would happen if the Rockets lose. Let me just say something. I don't see the Rockets losing this game. Like, I think we all forgot Game 5 where the Rockets blew them out the water. They barely won that Game 6. Do you think the Thunder truly have a legitimate chance tonight in Game 7?
I think they have a legitimate chance, Jacoby, because no home court advantage, no fans, and playing in the bubble is straight emotion, and whoever shows up to play is the best today is going to win. That's basically what it's going to boil down to. And Chris Paul has been in that huddle. Russell Westbrook in reverse with Billy Donovan. Those two teams know each other's players very well. And you said it, house money, OKC. Now Houston, boy, I tell you, you lose that money gambling and you can't go home because there's going to be a lot of changes at the house. You know what I'm saying? Mike D'Antoni will not be there when you get back from the table.
I love the idea of Chris Paul, when the buzzers sound, holding the ball and just looking at Mike D'Antoni in the face, looking at James Harden in the face, looking at Daryl Morey and being like, look what y'all did. Look what y'all made me do.
Awesome.
Have a good time at home. I'll be in the bubble.
What do y'all think the Banana Boat crew is on text saying right now going into Game 7? What do y'all think Melo, who was released by Houston, Chris Paul, who was traded by Houston, what do you think they saying about Harden and them in that text? You don't think he want to get it done? This is going to be great theater for the NBA.
I love it, too. There's so much to look forward to in that Game 7, but there is also a critical Game 2 in the East. We have Jimmy Butler, who shot down the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis at the end of the game, and it was so much fun to watch. But Jalen, right now about this game, we're gonna need you to rely on your NBA experience and take us behind the curtain. We heard Giannis be asked a question about why he didn't switch on to Jimmy Butler. And Jalen, you take us behind the curtain. Take us into the huddle. When someone is scoring like that against your team and you're the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year, Do you say, you know what, coach? I don't care what you say. You know what, guys? I don't care what happens. I'm covering Jimmy Butler and stopping him to win this game.
I am about to give you an NBA ancient artifact of a sentence that you never realized was said. I once was standing on a sideline in a huddle, and I looked Sam Mitchell straight in the face and said, let me get Kobe. I got him. So I get everybody feeling like they're upset at the Greek Freak but not taking Jimmy Butler. But it's only game one. Series are a marathon, not a sprint. What does that say to Chris Middleton when you just push him out of the way and say you can't handle it? Or George Hill or Wes Matthews? That's what they're supposed to be out there for. Now, as the series progresses, if you realize it can't happen, then Giannis is going to start doing it more often. I don't believe it was because he was scared or didn't want the challenge.
Yeah, that's hilarious. And I also think this is Giannis guarding Jimmy Butler goes completely against the Bucks' defensive philosophy. They pack the paint with Lopez and Antetokounmpo, and they let you shoot threes. They keep opponent paint numbers down. They're the best in the league at it. The best in the league at defensive rebounding. Third in the league at blocks. So to have Giannis run around and chase Jimmy Butler off screens and contest jump shots, it's just against everything they do. In game one, in a close game, you don't just tear up the game plan that you've used all year to get the number one seed and throw it in the garbage. But I do like one thing that you did say, Jalen. I rarely give you compliments. If this does get down the line to game six and game seven and the back is to the wall, that's the time when you flip that switch. That's the time when you throw out the philosophy and throw the defensive player of the year at the opposing team's best player. Jalen, turning our eye to football, which begins in just 8 days, we have some information about how the NFL is going to react to the movement and the fight against social injustice. And what they've decided to do is they will put in the end zone, end racism, and it takes all of us. What do you think about this move from the NFL?
Any field position, I'll take it. It's progress from what happened 4 years ago by a league that was unapologetic, now realizes that it should start looking at society a lot different with a better view of equality. But here's the issue that the NFL is going to have. The NBA players were playing in a bubble, which means the proximity had them there with the executives and the coaches, so we have to be in one. The regular season had already gotten played, which means you're not missing checks. Unfortunately, there will be more incidents of police brutality, killings, and murders. And when the NFL season is in progress, it's just unfortunate that I anticipate a splintering happening. You're going to see certain players that say, I'm not playing, and or I am taking the knee. And in reverse, you're going to see the teams punish those players. But it's not going to stop the entire league, because I don't think the entire league is going to want to miss checks.
It is now time for Soft Mover Bossman. Jalen Rose, I have a confession to make. Every once in a while, I splurge on Taco Bell. I order like 9 things from the menu, and there is a Taco gentleman Bell recently who decided Mexican to do the same thing. He pulled up to the Taco Bell drive-thru, ordered some stuff, and then was naked when he arrived at the drive-thru. Not only that, he asked for extra napkins, asked for a free taco, asked for sauce. See, I liked it when he was just naked. I considered that could be a boss move, but you can't be naked and asking for extra stuff and making a thing out of it. Soft mover boss move, ordering drive-thru while in the nude.
It is a soft move ordering naked drive-thru at Taco Bell. However, now if you would have been going to Magic City, I would have understand the confusion.
Matt, go to break. Got to give the people.
Remember to request your absentee ballot. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It is now time for Messages of the Move. Every single day, we will focus on another one of the messages that appear on the back of NBA jerseys during the bubble play. And today's message is, I am a man. Jalen, What does that mean to you?
Extremely important. As a black person descended of slaves, there was times where this country treated us and acknowledged that we would be counted as 3/5 of a man as we were being censored. And in 1968, the Memphis sanitation workers, Jacoby, were trying to not only fight for equality and equal pay, but rights. And this was a slogan that was very important for obvious reasons, because we were not being treated as such. And so it's not just I am a man, like there's four words. It's really deep rooted in meaning that I am an equal, i.e. Black lives matter. It's not saying that other lives don't matter. It's just saying I'm included and I feel equal. Please treat me as such.
Well put. Jalen, it's time for Sophomore for Boss Man. The Kansas City Chiefs got their Super Bowl rings yesterday, and one of those Chiefs was Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes, and he also gave away a ring to his lovely bride-to-be and got engaged. Jalen, using the ring ceremony as a peg to give away an engagement ring, sophomore or boss move?
It's a boss move, and I know a lot of people that didn't play sports for a living feel like, why would you interject your job or something that you do for a living with your mate? But what ends up happening is some of us are just jocks by trade, and she's there to support his games and support his practices and his sacrifices, so he felt like they're equal.
We are off tomorrow. We will be back on ESPN2 at 2 o'clock on
Thank
Friday.
You. You're far too kind.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is podcast exclusive content. Jalen, when I saw this story, I said, you know what? Let's put this in the TV show. And I said, yeah, you know what? I like my job and I got to feed my family. This is going to be a too hot for TV podcast exclusive content kind of thing. Now, I'm just going to read you the headline with absolutely no judgment or opinion because I'm a journalist.
Okay.
And I got this from Black Sports Online, one of my favorite websites. Bills safety Jordan Poyer's wife, Rachel Bush, starts in OnlyFans.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's not good.
Oh, I can go the other way. I can go the other way with this.
That is not good.
I can go the other way with this.
Nah.
Okay.
No.
Let me speak on it for a second. See, I understand your initial reaction, which was also my initial reaction. But unlike other stories, I did some actual research for this. So I searched Rachel Bush Instagram. And this is sort of what she does for a living. She's an extremely attractive young lady who has over 1 million followers. She gets Instagram sponsorships. She has a lot of people that want to see her. Who knows if she's revealing or sexual on her OnlyFans? I have not signed up quite yet. But I will say this, that maybe this is just another revenue stream for the family. You know, maybe it's just what she does for a living. So let me play devil's advocate here and say, you know what? You never want your wife to have an OnlyFans, but in this case, it's kind of what she does. It's her job. Your thoughts?
I'll never knock anybody's hustle, and that is great for her. That is great for them, that she's gonna be being able to profit off of her 1 million followers and being attractive and, like you said, taking advantage of the new technology. It ain't gonna be good for him. Having more people salivating about your significant other is never good for you. What you say.
Let me confess something. I should.
You even say, even you said, I haven't downloaded it yet. I haven't checked it out just yet.
I have to confess something. I've been tempted a couple times to sign up for OnlyFans. I've never been to the OnlyFans website. I don't know how it works. I know nothing about the whole community, but a couple times I've seen some young ladies online and they're like, hey, this is my OnlyFans. And there's a link there. And I've been like, I wonder what happens if I click this. I wonder what happens. I haven't done it. So, I can't say never going to do it, but I haven't done it.
So I'm not going to accuse you of having anything else that probably inebriated your decision-making at the time. maybe even beverages. But what I will say is keep your hands in your pocket, dog. Play all of the pocket pool that you want. All of the pocket pool that you want, dog.
I'm Tom Cruise with the pocket pool. I'm Tom Cruise, Paul Newman with the pocket pool. Color of Money, baby. Oh, if you're over 35, you get that reference. Moving on. The versus battle, Brandy and Monica was phenomenal. Love the whole series. I mean, what the pandemic has done a lot of terrible things for our society, but one good thing it has done is birth the versus movement. And one thing I've noticed about trends of people that propose, artists that propose versus battles, they never really like go down. Like you don't see Jay-Z being like, yo, Tekashi 6ix9ine and me, what do you guys think? They kind of go the other way. And Juicy J of 36 Mafia has decided that it would be good to have a versus battle against NWA. Jalen, your thoughts?
No, that's a different weight class. But exactly. I will say, just for different eras, how about, let me think of a good, how about, nah, that, this is a different weight class too.
You're the,
I
was you're try the Michael to, Jordan I, of this, though. You're the Michael Jordan of proposing versus battle.
I got you. All right, so here's a good one. How about older school Southern versus old school Southern and have them go against UGK?
Mm.
36 Mafia versus UGK.
You know how like some people pay $10,000 to get a matchmaker? You're that for the versus battles. You know, you take in all the data. You take in all the data into consideration how many hits they have, what region are they from, what era were they hottest in, and then you just sort of like you find a good match. And I know you did that off the top of your head.
So I got to tell you this, though.
What about this? I got one for you.
Love.
What about Ghetto Boys? Ghetto Boys, 36 Mafia?
It's in the same thing. I think Ghetto Boys out of their weight class. Because Scarface, you got to forget, that's just Scarface in itself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mr. Scarface, you know, that's a whole different thing. But I can't front. I'm so embedded in this culture, and relationships are really personal to me. I took a knee on the Monica and Brandy versus battle, and I'll tell you that on wax, because I just kind of felt dirty about watching her and Master P going back and forth at it. Talking about the relationship with C Murder. So I just felt like I wanted to sit that out. So I did.
It was just one of them days.
I like what you did there. It is one of them days.
No, if you're a dude, don't act like you've never sung along with that song full throated. The girl goes through.
It's one of them days. I just want to be all alone. Think I did you wrong.
Every dude listening to this knows that they've been feeling that song. Just feeling it like to your core. Sometimes it is just one of them days. Just because I'm not female doesn't mean I don't have one of them days.
But the best time to sing a song like that, just unbutton your shirt and let your chest hair show. You know, just express yourself.
Couple things. Number one, unbuttoning your shirt and letting your chest hair show is not a time. That's not a time. That's an action. The best time is when you're eating a croissant.
Like, a performance.
Unrelated to time.
Make it a performance.
Oh, Jalen, I don't ever want to see that performance from you. I don't think you have chest hair. You got chest hair? You're not a chest hair guy.
I don't. I'm not a hair
guy. I got kind of wispy chest hairs, like barely. Like you can't even really see them. We always say give the people what they want. Part of that is listening to the people. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave a voicemail. And if you leave a voicemail and it gets selected, we'll play it in the show just like this. Hit it.
Hey, Jalen, Jacoby. This is Mike from Toronto. You both always talk about your love for power couples, and two of my best friends are going to be getting married next week. I wanted to know if you guys could just give a quick shout out to my friends Nick and Jess. For their big wedding day, I want to give them a special gift that they couldn't get anywhere else. They're both huge fans of the show, and they listen to the podcast each day. Thank you both. Keep giving the people what they want. And big shout out to the Raps.
I love Canadians so much. They're just so nice. You know what I mean? Like, just so polite.
Canada.
Just Mike is just like, you know what? If you could, if you had the time, please give a shout to Nick and Jess. Nick and Jess, big shout to you. Power couple.
Big shout, power couples.
Nick and Jess, here's my advice. Here's the thing, Nick and Jess. Don't try to be right. Even if you feel like you're right, Just get through it. Don't try to be right. I've been with my lady for 18 years. I spent like a good 11 of them trying to be right, trying to prove that I was right and she was wrong. And then I was correct and she was incorrect. And then the last 7 years, I've just been like, whatever it takes to get through this, let's just weather the storm. You know, let's just see eye to eye. Let's come to a compromise. Let's come to an agreement. I don't have to prove that I'm right and that you're wrong. Don't even bother trying that. Win the game together, Jalen.
And I have two words that are really key for any relationship. Release endorphins. I'm telling you, whenever you get confused, that's what you want to do, and have as much sex as possible. And don't schedule it.
Great advice.
Don't schedule it. It can't be like, oh, next Friday we're going to do it at 12 o'clock. Oh. No, it got to be like, all right, 3 in the morning, breath stinking, somebody got to go to the bathroom, boom. It can't be a schedule unless it's a birthday.
I got three kids, man. Sometimes we got to Outlook invite that stuff. It's like, all right, so we got like a 30-minute window when Margo's going to be in school, Quincy's going to be in soccer.
That's planning. That's different. That's different.
Matt, what's the next voicemail?
Yo, Jalen and Jacoby. It's Luke. Big fan of the pod. Been listening since I was 14. My question is this. Soft move or boss move? Flossing. I just went to the dentist, and she roasted my teeth, said I need to floss, and then I told my friends I had to floss, and they were roasting me for flossing. So I need an answer. Soft move or boss move? Flossing. Thanks, guys. Trust the process, always.
Luke. Let me tell you something. I never flossed my entire life. And I want to give a big shout to Dr. Cecilio Poe, also known as Butch. Went to college with me, the best dentist in New Jersey. And I went out to go see Dr. Poe after not going to the dentist for like 4 or 5 years. Dr. Poe was like, you don't floss. I was like, no, I don't. He said, not only should you floss, and I do now because I like the way it feels. I kind of like the way it hurts. He told me to get a water pick. You know what this is? This will change your life. You get a water pick. He said, brush your teeth and then use the water pick, right? So I bought the thing. It's like 40, 50 bucks. Go to Rite Aid, buy it. And it's just sitting there. I don't use it. Just sitting in my bathroom. Never use it. Didn't even take it out of the box. He said, brush your teeth and then use the water pick and see what happens. So I brush my teeth thoroughly and I crank open the water pick and I fill it up with water. And I turn the volume up to 10 on that thing. And I just blast my gums with those, right? And then I look in the sink and you see chunks of food come flying out of your mouth after you brush your teeth when you use the water pick. So after you brush your teeth, you think you're done. You think you got 100% of the stuff in your mouth. You're wrong. Not only should you floss, not only should you brush. Also, if you have the means, get yourself a water pick. This is not an ad read. I'm telling you, water pick changed my life. Appreciate it, Luke.
That just let me know I need to get a water pick as well.
Yeah, dog. And also, Jalen cares about his teeth. Jalen cares about his teeth. He really does.
I need
he
to
really
get one does. Of those. I even stopped really eating does. As you many chips because I care about them so much.
You lying. When's the last time you had chips? You had chips this morning. You had chips for breakfast.
I've cut it down 95%, dog.
Oh, only 3 bags a day? Really?
Too hard.
Jalen without chips, man? I don't know. Time for one more voicemail. What do you got?
Hey, Jalen. Hey, Jacoby. My name's Sam, and I'm a longtime listener and big-time Mavs fan. I appreciate everything y'all do with the show, and today I was hoping you could highlight some tangible things we as fans can do to support the players and the rest of the nation and the fight for social justice. Thanks again for giving us a dope pod to step to almost every day.
I feel like she tried to sneak this at the end there. Saw that? She's like, thanks almost. For giving us the pod. Like, almost every day. I was like, I know y'all have some off days and you don't want to come in and just do the pod because you're off TV, but whatever. I appreciate you anyway. I couldn't hear what Sam said. I ain't going to lie. She was a big Mavs fan. Caught that part. But I didn't hear what she said. Can you play it again, Matt?
Hey, Jalen. Hey, Jacoby. My name's Sam, and I'm a long-term listener and big-time Mavs fan. I appreciate everything y'all do with the show, and today I was hoping you could highlight some tangible things we as fans can do to support the players and the rest of the nation and fight for social justice. Thanks again for giving us a dope pod to step to almost every day.
Oh, you know what? I got the biggest one. Tangible things, she said. Actions that you can take to support players and fans in the fight against social injustice. It's a simple thing. It's one word. Vote. Tangible. You can do it. Causes change. Vote. If you know what? Who was it? Doc Rivers said that about 20% of the players voted last year. 20%. Vote. I don't care if you're in a state where you feel like your vote doesn't matter, won't count. It will count against the total. Make sure that you get out and vote or mail in and vote this November in the election. Jalen.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate your continued support. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We try to continue to get the people what they want. My answer would be stay encouraged. Because sometimes when you vote, the person that wins the popular election, Hillary, doesn't necessarily win the presidency, Donald. Sometimes when you look up on the stage and you like, I don't really like Trump. He's not saying much. And his rhetoric is divisive. And then Joe, he's not saying much that's going to help change the dynamics of my community. You can't say, well, I don't like either one, so I'm not going to vote. It becomes the lesser of two evil. It's a field position thing. And I'm telling you guys the next ticket. The next ticket, Kamala Harris, Keisha Lance Bottoms. That's going to be a historic ticket. In order to get there, you got to vote now.
Everybody go out and vote. We will be off tomorrow. Sam is going to be upset. Sam's going to be like, see, you don't give the people a dope pod two steps every day because we are preempted by the U.S. Open, but we will be back on Friday strong. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. You got to give the people.